David Miller, Director of Research and Commodity Services for the Iowa Farm Bureau.
Dave, what can you tell us about what farmers should expect or anticipate regarding progress on the U.S.-China front?
Well, I think the news over the weekend is at least heartening, and that maybe there is at least the some type of resolution, or at least a hiatus in the escalation of the trade dispute between the U.S. and China. I kind of thought that there would be some type of action that may give us a 60 to 90 day window to maybe get some market response, particularly on soybeans, but maybe on some corn also this winter, give us an opportunity to market some of the 18 crop. I don't know if we're going to get full resolution at the end of the 90 days. There was a report out today, once we had kind of the framework for the USMCA, the NAFTA renegotiation, it still took 18 months to work out all the details. China may not take us quite that long, but on the other hand, I expect the overall trade dispute's going to have some legs into 19 yet. But I think this does give us an opportunity during this period of December, January, February, where China's going to take a pretty good chunk of soybeans. It will definitely help us from a market standpoint. But there are some real long-term legitimate issues that have to be resolved. And China has still been fairly reluctant to even admit that there's any issues around intellectual property, around co-investment, around how they're dealing with businesses having access into the Chinese market. I remind people that China was our number one or number two market for poultry meat in 2012 and 13. We now sell them nothing. And that's not because we quit selling, it's because they quit buying. They were a big market. They were the number one market for grain sorghum, and then they followed up with some 172%, they don't call them tariffs, but a market guarantee thing, and it killed the grain sorghum market in China. We've been through that on a number of ag products. And so there's a lot of issues out there for agriculture to be solved with China. There's a lot of banking and industry issues with China. Hopefully, though, what happened over the weekend is a good step in the right direction.
And that begs the question, what types of concessions are the Chinese considering right now? Because there's so much focus on the tariffs, but those non-tariff barriers that you pointed out, there are many.
That's right. The non-tariff barriers really are the hard ones here. I think some of the things that they will be looking hard at is, can we get away from the requirement to have to do a joint venture in China and give up 51% of the ownership of the business to the Chinese, and with that, a transfer of major technology? I think that's going to be a big one. As it was one thing to do that before China joined the WTO, but part of them joining the WTO was to give up some of those protectionist type activities that they've done and open their market up as a member of WTO to the overall trading rules that exist within WTO, and they've not necessarily lived up to that. So this is not all about tariffs. And the other thing is, China's kind of the only country that really made this a food fight. The issues to a large degree are not agricultural issues. There are some ag issues, but the issues are around banking and around investment and around consumer goods, etc. And China chose to retaliate almost purely in agriculture. They did it, we know why, for political reasons. They're doing it very deliberately, trying to affect the midterm elections. Midterm elections are over, so now maybe we'll see some movement by the Chinese to try and maybe back off some of the agricultural things, because it's actually hurting them quite a bit. And so we'll probably see maybe a different approach from the Chinese over the next 90 days to 6 months.
And in the vein of China not wanting to do harm to themselves, from a marketing standpoint, Dave, I have to wonder if they're publicly announcing that they're going to make a huge U.S. ag buy, an energy buy, we're going to see our prices go higher, which from a financial standpoint, that's not a smart business move for China.
Well, except there is a huge discount right now in the U.S. compared to Brazil and Argentina. And I think if they, even if the Chinese announce a big buy of agricultural products, I have not heard them say yet they're taking the tariff off. But they may simply be in the market. And so my expectation is we're going to close about half the gap between us and Brazil. Now, right now, but it would not surprise me, and this is pure speculation, but it would not surprise me to see China do something in the interim, leave the tariff on, but announce a rebate program to their buyers where they'll refund the tariff that they collect back to the buyers effectively for the next 60 or 90 days, making the tariff non-effective, if you will. If that were the case, my guess is you would see U.S. beans have a fairly significant rally. But again, I think there's enough future uncertainty ahead. We probably wouldn't totally close the gap with Brazil, where Brazil beans are. But we don't need to totally necessarily close that gap in the short run to be very beneficial probably to both countries. And if they, if the Chinese could buy $9 U.S. beans compared to $10.50 beans in Brazil, assuming they have any left to sell, even if our beans rally some, that's still cheap beans on a world market basis. It's because we're so underpriced to the world right now compared to Brazil, Argentina.
Well, we've camped out on China so far. Anything else on China before we talk about USMCA?
Well, I just think it's not just a bean issue. It is a pork issue, etc. But the other thing to watch about China is what's happening to their soybean meal demand because of what's happening with African swine fever. China's not very transparent with the data of what's happening there. We know the African swine fever continues to spread in China. I've seen estimates that it could cost them 10 million hogs. I've seen estimates as high as 100 million hogs. That becomes mind-blowing. China has about 300 million hogs in the country, at least the best data we can get. And they could lose equivalent to the whole U.S. hog herd is one, on the high end of the estimates from this African swine fever. I'm guessing that it's going to be someplace in between, but it very well could reduce their demand for soybean meal by anywhere from 100 to 200 million bushels. So I think that's something we've got to keep an eye on. It could open up, though, particularly if we can get beyond the focus on food. China could be a good importer of U.S. pork. And so there may be some opportunities as we move into 2019 of looking at opportunities beyond, not only just in the bean market, but definitely in terms of pork exports into China and what it may do. They like pork in China. They eat pork there. It's a regular staple. And there are some that say if they were on the upper end of how they could lose their hog herd, it could lead to food riots and other things within China. So a lot of things to watch about China.
Dave, with the new NAFTA agreement, why do you think the tariffs remain in place that the U.S. has imposed on Canada and Mexico, even though leaders from all three countries have now come together, they've signed the paperwork, it obviously needs to be ratified by Congress, but why are those tariffs still there?
Well, the tariffs that are there are still a function of the aluminum and steel tariffs. I am hopeful that as we actually get the agreement ratified, that we're going to see those tariffs eliminated and any retaliatory tariffs also lifted. Clearly, from an ag standpoint, aluminum steel tariffs with Mexico and Canada make no sense, to be blunt. I think with China and some other places, there probably are very legitimate reasons why they may be a tool in the toolbox for negotiating with them. But Canada and Mexico are definitely our trade allies. They're our closest trading partners. They're allies in a lot of ways. And it is definitely my hope that we get a relatively quick resolution to some of the details around that so that we can move beyond that. The good news is that while the whole USMCA was being negotiated, Mexico stayed in as a, they did not make it a food fight. They stayed I'll call it normal course relative to corn imports, and pork and beef trade with Mexico has remained solid. So Mexico has remained a very good agricultural product importer and trade partner with us, and I think us with them in the agricultural arena throughout the developments of the USMCA and the renegotiations of the NAFTA agreement. It's one of those you wish that had been the model for other parts of the world, that you would not move to be using food and agriculture products as the retaliatory products.
But there's history to that, isn't there? I remember Jim Heimerl, president of the National Pork Producers Council, telling me at World Pork Expo this June that agriculture and he was talking about pork specifically, but ag seems to be at the tip of the spear. That's what he called it.
Well, it definitely has been, and definitely has been with China. China, and there's a few other countries. Russia has been one that has also used ag products very much at the tip of every trade dispute. In the past, Mexico has done that some also, so it was almost refreshing that while there were some significant issues being resolved with regard to the update of the NAFTA agreement into the USMCA, that really Canada and Mexico and the U.S. to a large degree kept food out of it. Yeah, dairy was a significant issue with Canada with regard to renegotiation. And there were some things on dairy exports to Canada that kind of took a hiatus for a while. But I guess I'm appreciative as an Iowa farmer to Mexico not letting the renegotiations of the USMCA get in the way of long-term good relationships on corn, soybean, beef, pork exports, turkey exports, or a whole list of them down into Mexico. And to a large degree, that's probably been very beneficial for the Mexican consumers.
What do you think the next Congress does with USMCA, Dave?
Oh, I think there'll be a ratification of it. Nothing certain in politics, but I think everything points to ratification of the agreement by the upcoming Congress.
Let's close with the Farm Bill and back to Congress here. I understand that the House will not vote this week with the funeral services for former President George H.W. Bush. But as far as that December 31st date that we're all looking at, are you confident that we'll see the Farm Bill on President Trump's desk by then?
Yes. I think it actually, absent the death of President George H.W. Bush, the Farm Bill would have hit the House today, is probably where it would have gone. We were, in fact, our speakers for our Farm Bill session here at the conference, we had Senate Ag Committee, our Republican and Democrat senior staffers scheduled to be here, and they called about a week ago and said, we're going to be on the floor, we can't come. While I hated to have to reschedule speakers for at the last minute, that was actually very good news. So I think there's very good signs that the conference committee has come to an agreement. I think we're going to get a bipartisan vote out of the House that'll pass the Farm Bill. It'll probably be tight, but I think it will. The vote is there, and I think it will be a bipartisan vote. I think Farm Bill, when it goes to the Senate, will pass. It passed out of committee with a good vote and passed the Senate with a bipartisan vote. So I think we're going to see a fairly good bipartisan vote on the Farm Bill. I think pushing it back a week actually could be good because it probably gives staff time to fix a little bit of language and reduce the amount of technical corrections you got to do, which always come in these things. But the reality is, I think by the 20th of December, we're probably going to have a Farm Bill. President Trump has made no indication of any veto threat on it. So, and particularly if I think if it comes out of Congress with bipartisan support, I'm probably 99.9% sure we're going to have a farm bill before the end of the year.
You hear the four principal leaders in the negotiations talk about a lot of things that I think are considered knowns in this 2018 Farm Bill. Not a lot of questions surrounding maybe what the commodity Title I program, conservation elements, SNAP requirements. You know, the House proposals have been thrown out apparently. Seems like there's a lot of knowns, Dave. But what are the unknowns? What are those areas that are a little murky yet that you're really anxious to get the details on with this Farm Bill?
Well, I think there will be a few details around conservation that we still need to find out because there were some differences between the House and Senate bills. And they were more probably on process than they were on substance, if you will. But it'll be interesting to see how those details come out. I think from an ag standpoint, we could live with either one. So, but it'll be interesting to see what those final details are. I think you're right. I don't think there's a lot of mystery about the Title I commodities. I think we kind of know it's going to be a little bit of a tweak from where we were, evolutionary, not revolutionary. I think some sectors, it's probably not as much interest to Iowa per se, but there's parts of the country it will be. I think the forestry title, it was one of the last sticking points, and I don't know that we've seen the details of what some of the changes in the forestry management and forestry title are going to be. So I think particularly in the West, Western U.S., they're very interested in what's coming out of the forestry title. But I think the Southeast will also be very interested in that. I think there very well could be some interesting things maybe in the research title and some other things like that. Again, the staff are being fairly tight-lipped about, and the members of Congress are fairly tight-lipped about what they came to in final agreement. Part of the tactic is to not create an opportunity for everybody to nitpick the bill before it goes up to Congress. So I'm sure we'll have a surprise or two in it. But it's probably, I think we've got pretty good transparency in what was in the House bill and what was in the Senate bill. And it's going to be one or the other or a little bit in between. So I think the boundaries of where we're going to be are pretty well set.
We've covered a lot today, Dave. Anything else you want to make sure we talk about?
Well, I just think there's the good news is as we go into a new year, I think there are some reasons to be optimistic about the next 6 months or a year for agriculture. The last 6 months have been tough. The trade disputes and the reactions of other countries. I remind people, President Trump did not put tariffs on soybeans. President Xi chose soybeans. President Xi chose pork twice. You know, raised tariffs on pork twice in 2018. I think there's real reasons to be optimistic about that the ag economy is probably going to improve in 2019 and opportunities will come to fruition and then we'll have a farm bill in place and maybe things will be a little rosier out there.
That's a pretty good place to close. Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome. Glad to be with the group.